So, first I'd just like to offer my respects to Srila Prabhupada, my obeisances, which I did in the prayers again, and to his Divine Grace Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, and to all of the assembled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. I think we're assembled on an occasion which is very unique, at a time which is very unique. A time which is very special. I know that I was going back and forth between Mayapur and Vrindavan in 1977 to spend as much time as I could with Srila Prabhupada in those... but there we had, like the doctors were telling us, there was hope. He was getting better. There could be a recovery. Everything would be all right. Maybe, hopefully. But then, of course, Srila Prabhupada left physically. And here we're in a situation where we're being told by doctors, by Guru Maharaj himself, that he's not staying, and his body is falling apart because of the illness. But he is very much concerned about every devotee. He's not only concerned about his own disciples and followers and how they'll survive and Krishna consciousness. He's so concerned about the people in ISKCON who are in difficulty. He's like compassion personified. He's concerned about leaders who are not properly situated, or he's concerned about his god brothers, his god sisters. And from his situation, though he's in a wounded condition physically, but he's trying to help people with whatever little ounce of energy he has left. It's an overwhelming experience. Something to be very proud about. At the same time, just like now he is ill, so many things as that before, he was dancing and kirtan, everything so active, you never expect it. Now he's physically helpless to move from one place to the next. Everything is being done with the help of his servants. Prabhupada told us that this is part of the Vapu Seva, that sometimes spiritual master gets sick and then the disciples, they have to take care of him. Prabhupada would get sick sometimes, different types of sickness. And then the disciples would have to take care of him. When you're sick, then the normal activities can't be done. You have to do special activities just to get the body together. So in the Vapu Seva, when we are directly serving the body of the spiritual master. Well, so when the spiritual master is sick, people get an opportunity to do more Vapu Seva because the Vapu is helpless without so many servants and helpers. usually cooking, washing clothes, hearing the classes directly. All these are the direct Bapu connection, getting instruction, getting association. Gives so much inspiration. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada, he once mentioned that sometime maybe spiritual master is giving a class, but the disciple is spacing out. I mean, he didn't use those words, I'm using my words. Disciple is distracted, something like that. He said that disciple is thinking of something else. Maybe he's thinking, what's for prasadam? I'm hungry, I'm tired, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. You know, instead the guru's there, and it's a rare opportunity that they have that personal association with the spiritual master or any spiritual master. But we're not focused. We're wandering, we're somewhere else. Even though we're in his physical presence. He said that's one thing that can happen even in the Vapu Sevi. The guru's there but your mind's somewhere else. But when the spiritual master is not there and you're in separation, then even wherever your body may be, but your mind, your heart is there with the spiritual master. So that's, and the spiritual platform, the connection isn't there like who's 10 feet away or 20 feet away. The connection is a spiritual connection. Are you meditating on the spiritual master? Are you trying to serve him? So that remembrance, that deep connection on a higher level is possible in separation. So how we associate with a spiritual master when he's not physically present. Of course, that could be even that the spiritual master is not here today, but he's some other part of the world. We hope that we'll get that really soon, we'll get a reunion. But we have to carry out the instructions he gave us. Srila Prabhupada, he was very merciful to us. He left us lots of instructions and so many books. So many lectures, so many letters. And Bhakti Tirthamaraj told me some days he was answering 200 letters in a day, which is quite amazing. So I'm sure, and so many lectures and so many books which have been gathered from his speech, preaching. So there's a lot of, and so many letters. Final letters, final realizations. So that Vani brings us a deeper connection. Just like Srila Prabhupada, in one sense, he wasn't one of the sannyasis that had a lot of Vapu Seva, intimate Seva with his spiritual master. He had some intimate moments. He had some association, but it wasn't like one of the close sannyasis that was always serving the Guru. And he said it may have insulated him from many different things that happened in the Gaudiya Math after the demise of the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura, the disappearance. But because he took the instructions of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura to heart, it didn't matter that the quantity didn't matter, but it was the quality of that association and the quality of his accepting the orders of the spiritual master. But like in Chaitanya Leela, we went this year to Varanasi on our Ganga safari. And Varanasi has one unique pastime. Of course, we all know how Lord Chaitanya went there and delivered Prakashananda Saraswati. But that was possible that he could convert entire Varanasi to Vaishnavas because of the presence of two devotees, Chandrasekhar and Tapan Misra. And about 20 years before, Lord Chaitanya told them, 20 or 15, quite a number of years before, he told them, you go and wait for me in Varanasi. And he came like after 15 years later. If you're a spiritual mother, you know, go to this place, wait for me, and it comes after 15 years later, you know. You don't, there's no email or no phone call, no, you don't get any information, whether, you know, even a reassurance that, yeah, I'm still coming. Just one instruction. I'm coming. You had to prepare the field for me. But they had so much faith. I mean, they're amazing. They're unbelievably amazing. Awesome, whatever. Rad. I told you, there's a whole new... They're amazing devotees. But they did it. They had so much faith in the instruction of Lord Chaitanya. And as a result, when Lord Chaitanya came, he stayed with them. They cooked for him. They organized programs. Lord Chaitanya was chanting, dancing in the street, getting everybody involved. They informed Lord Chaitanya that Mayavadis are criticizing. Huh? It's very intolerable for them. And so then Lord Chaitanya, out of compassion for his devotees, especially, decided to give the mercy to all these Mayavadis. Mayavadis don't usually get the mercy too easily, but since his devotees wanted it. So here we have situation, there's a lot of important instructions. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj has a vision about an ISKCON where people are very caring, where people treat each other nicely, where they're Krishna conscious, where they're dedicated to Prabhupada's message, where they're happy in kirtan and Vaishnava association, where it's a real family spirit. We need to work together to try to achieve this vision, this dream, which is in harmony with Prabhupada's vision. And we've been trying for that kind of a society, but he's giving it a very strong footnote. He wants his followers to be in the family of Prabhupada and to be serving, and he's hoping that the family will support and back up his disciples. As he said, he's going to give us association and connection in many new ways. I was once with Srila Prabhupada, and somebody made that, some god brother had the indiscreetness, or the, I don't know, I won't make a comment because they're my uncles, so, to comment to some devotee that something like Prabhupada didn't have so much association. So, and then that devotee came and told this to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada just, you know, he just was like, I don't know, I can't describe that emotion, but it was so intense. It was as intense as I've ever seen Srila Prabhupada, and he was just so emphatic. He just said, you know, what do these people think? My spiritual master is by my side at every minute! And then I'm this was a millionth of what intensity he was saying. When he said it, you could see Bhaktisiddhanta Saritaka practically floating next to him. It was right there looking, giving his blessings. There was no doubt. Everything he was doing was guided by his spiritual master. That's the kind of vani connection we have to develop. We don't do anything that we're not sure this is what my spiritual master, this is what the previous acharyas want. We think about it. We breathe it. And therefore we feel it's like you're in a cushion, in a spiritual bubble of protection. That the Guru is always with you, every minute. Because we're always connected with trying to carry out his instructions. That was definitely the connection Prabhupada had. And that's the connection that we have to develop in our own Krishna consciousness with our spiritual master, with our... Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he has a very deep connection, always thinking about how to fulfill Prabhupada's mission. The letters that he writes, sometimes you read them on the internet, and then after talking to him today, then I'm going to be reading those letters again and again so many times, because I could just realize after talking to him that I didn't go as deep the first reading. I don't know how many readings it takes, if I can get even that deep, but that he is feeling so... Just like his letter about forgiveness. Sometimes he's been offended by people. He has reason to be angry, upset from an external point of view. But he's forgiven everybody. He's not holding any. He's not only forgive, not just forgiving in the sense of like just forgiving, but actually he believes that whatever they did it with a right, with a good intention. He's not even holding it that their intention was wrong. They just didn't understand his intention. They didn't understand what he was trying to do. That he's trying to serve Srila Prabhupada also. From his realization. So, I don't know if I can express, but these are properly in words, but these are very deep characteristics of a pure devotee. Just like we see in Prahlad when he prayed for the forgiveness for his father, different great Kuresha, one great Vaishnava, and the Sri Sampradaya prayed for forgiveness of people so who had been inimical to him. We had to follow in the footsteps. Following the footstep means to do what the spiritual master says. He practiced what he preached. He showed us the example. We had to also follow. That's a vani seva. That seva, nobody can take that away from anybody. Vapu seva, we have it sometimes, sometimes we don't have it. It's not a permanent situation. We get it back again when we're united in the spiritual world, when we all have our spiritual bodies and we're together. But Divani Seva, is that something we can link into? But you have to become a little more mature. Not a little more, you have to become very mature in your Krishna consciousness to be able to link in. To see how the instructions of the spiritual master are not different from the spiritual master. Everything connected to the spiritual master is spiritualized. But the most important thing are his spiritual instructions. His example, his dealings, all these things, but they're embodied. They're a living instruction. They're a living kind of vani also. Thinking the spiritual master is an ordinary person. The Vedas say that's an offense. Somebody who is an ambassador of Supreme Personality of Godhead is bringing that divine message. The externals are not relevant. What the, some idiosyncrasies or some habits or some, these are not so important. It's the importance is more in what is really in what his message is, what his vani is. What his spiritual purpose is. One time, Srila Prabhupada in Montreal in 1968, he asked all the devotees, what is it you have to get from the spiritual master? And everybody was raising their hand, Divya Gyan, spiritual knowledge, and Krishna consciousness, and there's so many different things. Somehow, Prabhupada didn't surprise everybody. Didn't accept any of those answers as complete, although they all seemed to be quite pretty good answers. He surprised everybody. He said, of course, that's in the 1960s, so maybe Prabhupada was speaking in a way that was more relevant to the 60s. That's, of course, that's just my... maybe universal time. I'm not, because I'm not so in touch with the Western modern jargon used, but it fit really well with the time at that. Let me say it was perfect for time, place, and circumstance. He said, what you had to get from the spiritual master is his vibration. And everybody was, vibration? Like, what is it? It was something intangible. It wasn't saying, it wasn't something you could, it was, you could think about that. Well, what is, you know? And he wouldn't elaborate. There's, many people ask me, what does that mean, you know? What does it mean, the vibration? It's like one of those things, nectar of devotion. You read it. If you understand it, very good. If you don't, read it again. No purports are given for nectar of devotion. In other words, the spiritual master, though, it's more than just the words that he spoke. The message is more than two-dimensional or three-dimensional. It's a fourth-dimensional message. It's a package of of love, of devotion, of philosophy, of intent, of dedication, of tapasya, of so many things, and it's all connected. The same words spoken by somebody else may not have the same impact. So it's more than just the instructions in a general sense. It's something very profound, and Prabhupada was indicating that we need to get the transfer of that vibration, of that moon, or whatever, from the spiritual master, in carrying out his instructions, in carrying out his mission. It's natural that, especially when the spiritual master is, Vapu is not there, then you read the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about the reincarnation of Paranjana when he takes as the queen, and her king leaves. Those are the very relevant instructions for disciples losing the Bapu association of the spiritual master. But we have to continue on with the mission. It's like the spiritual master's presence is now reincarnated in his mission, in his vani, in his message. We take that up. And it requires a little more maturity, more depth, to get out of the quagmire of so many mental planes and get to the put our heart in the right place and try to carry on what he wants us to do. And it's a very fulfilling experience. You actually can feel the presence. It's like Prabhupada said, my spiritual master is with me at every minute. You can feel the presence of your spiritual master at every minute. We had to be careful to avoid offenses. It's one of the topics. Offenses. We know the third offense to the spiritual, to the holy name, is to disobey the orders of the Guru. So being a disciple, it's not just an option. Okay, well, I think I'll follow the order of my Guru and connect myself, be connected. We have to do it. That's what it means to be a disciple. We've taken a commitment to always carry out instructions of our spiritual master. Prabhupada said the most important instruction of the four principles, 16 rounds, even for devotees who are not initiated, they may have accepted instructions. So it's important. It's part of our commitment as a devotee, as a disciple. So much so that it's embodied. It's part of our chanting to the holy name. If our relationship with the spiritual master isn't proper, our relationship with the holy name will be impeded. Everything is connected. That's why it's the third offense to the holy names. The Guru is the one who gives us the holy name. He's the one who gives us the mantra, the holy name. There's this beautiful prayer. I heard this was the most favorite prayer by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The prayer Raghunath Das Goswami. But first thing, he prays a prayer to his spiritual master. All the things he got from his guru. All the blessings. And the first is the holy name. Nama shastang manumapi sachi putra matra sarupam tasya grajang urupading mataringo stuvatim radha kundam girivaram mahoradhika madhavasam yasya praptam pratita kripaye sri gurung tang natosmi. Namashastam, the best of the holy names. The Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And we know that Raghunatha used to chant 300,000 names. Durana Kunda. So Namashastam Seva, Namashastam Manumapi. Also the mantra, Gayatri, Pancharatrik mantras, he got from the spiritual master. Sachiputram atra sarupam, he got Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by mercy of Guru. Of course, his was a very special situation. He was richest family practically around, one of the richest families. He gave up all the wealth, all the fame, all the sense gratification, and he got Sachiputra, he got Lord Chaitanya's association, Jagannath Puri, and he was assistant to Surup Damodar, who was the incarnation of Lalita. So he got so much association with the Lord. Intensive Vapu Seva opportunities. Satiputra Matra Sarupam Tasyagrajam. Rupam Tasyagrajam. Also Rupa Goswami and his older brother Sanatan Goswami. Goshtavatim and all the Vaishnavas. This association with Vaishnava is not a small thing. It's a very great blessing. And that was all by mercy of Guru. All the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, of Mathura Mandala. Then association of Radha Kunda. Of course, he was very much focused in Radha Kunda. Girivaram, the best of the mountains. Govardhan, he would do his Govardhan parikramas. Aho! Radha Madhava Asam. In the Nuvrindavan Bhakti, Rabindra Swarup Prabhu, he was giving the class. And he brought up like how Lord Chaitanya, Ayi Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram. Ayi is like with feeling. We should pray with feelings. So let's pray, aho, ahi, aho, same kind of thing. And so most important, Radha Madhava Asam, that desire to serve Radha and Krishna, Radha Madhava. To have the desire to do devotional service, that's a great gift of the Guru. And some people have desires to become multimillionaires or desires to become great Olympic stars or to become great politicians or become great sports people or whatever, so many different kinds of things. But to actually develop the desire to become to serve Radha and Krishna, to serve Krishna, that's not a small thing, that's the greatest thing. If we don't have that, we're not on the spiritual map yet. And that's the thing that's what we need to get from the Guru. So Raghunath Das, he got it. And therefore, aho Radhika Madhavasa, he was so grateful. Look all the things I got by serving my spiritual master. Look all the mercies he's given me. Therefore, I offer my obeisance to that person who, by whose mercy I got all these inconceivable, wonderful, beautiful things. I know in these moments it's very easy to start counting what we're missing, what we're not going to have, but we should also start to think all the things that we've gotten, all the things that we're receiving at every moment, even now. Because that's the things that we have to carry with us. Whenever that moment is when the spiritual master is not with us. I personally pray for some miracle, like Lord Chaitanya just touched the leper or something, and he was restored to a complete body and no more. I would like that kind of a miracle. It will take a miracle. But what Krishna's plan is, we don't know. Being here in this dimension of existence, in this material world where we don't know what's the future, what's the past. Great mystic rishis, they know a little bit, but nobody knows what the plan of the Lord is. Even the great mystics. They don't know. So we're put to tests. But so we don't know what the future holds. We have to deal with whatever happens as it happens. And if we do things based on our Krishna consciousness, based on our commitment to Guru and Krishna, if we try to do the right thing based on our own principles of Krishna consciousness, Krishna sees that. He doesn't forget. That's how we pass the test. And even if I can't present it, I can't say it as eloquently as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj does. The language he uses is so attractive, so poignant with meaning and depth. Some of those words, not used to that type of presentation from anyone else. But we need to face that even if we don't pass a test, it's not like in the last letter he wrote, it's not, that shouldn't be what defines us. We failed the test. It's just a reference point that we have to move on from. Eventually we're going to pass that test. We're going to get the same test again. It's like you don't pass your 10th grade, you got to keep taking until you pass it. Then you go on to 11th grade. So we're going to get these tests again and again until we pass them. And once you pass it, then okay, well, it's not a big deal anymore. I did that. I was there. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj's preaching area is here in the West. Most of his devotees, of course, they're here, they're in Croatia, they're all over the world. It's hard to define that. He's a worldwide preacher. But even his staying here in Gita Nagari is all for very noble reasons. His accessibility to the devotees, his wanting to get Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked him to do something to preserve the legacy of Gita Nagari, which Prabhupada is one of his Leela Bhumis, one of his pastime places. To make that there's Tirthas in the West where there's deities like Radha Damodar. This is also a holy Tirtha. I have a disciple who's not with us anymore and physically, but she's with us in spirit. She had been diagnosed as having terminal cancer, and she Manusavita Prabhu recommended that the doctor say she only has a few months to live. If you could initiate her, so it's really hard to get initiation if you're not a temple devotee at that time in Italy. But she got special consideration. So I initiated her in Mayapur. She went home, but she was doing all right for over a year. But then she went, she was feeling a little sick, went to the hospital, and the hospital told her that your cancer is everywhere. So what can you do for me? He said, well, we can't do anything. We can give you some painkillers. Some morphine or something, whatever they give. But you can't do anything for me. He said, no. And, of course, the same situation happened to Sridhar Maharaj. And then he opted, okay, if you can't do anything, then I go back to Mayapur. But in this case, it wasn't possible for this lady to go back to India because they said, you got a day to live, maybe. So what do you want? She says, I want the ambulance. So what do you want the ambulance for? You're in the hospital. She says, I want to go to the temple. You can't help me. So if I could die at any minute, I want to die in the temple, in a holy place, where I can go back to Godhead. And she preached to the doctor, said, okay, get her the ambulance. And then she went, the ambulance, went and drove into the temple. Everybody's looking around, what's happening? And she came out of the ambulance and said, doctors say I'm going to leave my body. I want to leave here in this holy place. I want to get the mercy of the deities. It's maybe not the normal thing that we think that what we're going to have a facility for in our temples. But in these kind of holy places, we have to start thinking that there are people who want to leave their body in a place where they can go back to Godhead. And, if the hospital is not the best environment. Maybe the Bhaktivedanta hospital is different, the one that Mira Road in Bombay, but generally speaking. It's not a great spiritual environment in there. So they were very kind and they arranged for her a guest room. They had a room. They let her stay in the room and she was there for 8 days listening to Prabhupada tapes. And some days when she was better, she could go and see the deities. So she had a little time to prepare herself. She communicated with me. I sent some instructions what to do. What final rites and things like that. So, then on the eighth day, then she suddenly started getting really sick again. All the devotees came in, were chanting around the bed, big kirtan. It just so happened Madhava Savita had driven all the way from Belgium, just happened to arrive at that moment. So one of our ISKCON gurus and GBCs, he just came in, saw that she was like taking her last breath, and he shouted out, Hare Krishna. Everyone was shouting and chanting. Saw her open her mouth, say Hare Krishna, and he confided in me, he said, if I could put in writing, this is how I want to go. We don't have that option to say how, we don't know, but he said, what could be a better situation, being in a temple with devotees chanting? So I, a few times I shared this story with devotees, but you know, many people thought, well, that's far out. But it's quite amazing that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he has this vision that for many people in the West, our temples are especially holy places like Gitanagari, like New Vrindavan, like will be places where people would want to come. Maybe there'll be a hospice or there'll be a facility where people can come to spend those last moments in a very God-conscious environment. And he is wanting to show people that these are holy places. So, what else to say on these topics? There's so much one can say. Offense also, sometimes we think, we try to judge a person based on our mind. If I were in that situation and I would do something like that, why would I do it? So that person must be doing it for the same reason that I did it, I would have done it for. But pure devotees are not... Chaitanya Charitamrita says you can't understand a pure devotee. They have got their higher motives to please Guru, please Krishna, to give mercy. There's a famous story about one Vaishnava called Govinda Das, who was a contemporary godbrother of Ramanuja. Everybody used to criticize him. They said he lies on the bed of the guru. He's an aparadi. Shastra says you should never lie down on the bed of the spiritual master. He does it. He's an offender. So then, you know, this was the kind of talk going around. So then, one day, Rupa Ramanujacharya just happened to walk to the quarters of the guru, and he saw that Govinda Das, who was the personal secretary of the guru, he made the bed up. And then for 1 second he laid in the bed and got off it. And then he said, but I've heard it from others, but now I'm seeing. You don't know it's offensive to lie on the bed of the guru? Why are you doing that? He said, it's my service to make the bed for the guru. How do I know if it's comfortable, going to be comfortable for him, if there's a lump or something? I don't know. If I have to go to hell for the comfort of my guru, I don't mind. But let my guru be comfortable. And I just want to test it out just to see if it will be comfortable. I know I may go to hell for this. But that doesn't matter to me. I want to see my guru is comfortable. Ramanujacharya, he was like, wow, this is like another ball game. This is another dimension. This is another... This is not the ordinary devotee, you know. So everybody's thinking, you know, he's doing it for a Sanskrit. He's doing it simply because out of right or wrong, but his motive is very, very lofty. Then some people are criticizing this Govinda Das, he's torturing a cobra, sticking his finger down a cobra's throat. Who does that? You know, then he went and saw, and he saw that he had the cobra and he's putting his finger in the throat. So what are you doing? He said, the cobra swallowed a lemon and it stuck in his throat and he's choking. So I can't stand to see the poor animal choke. So I'm trying to take out the lemon. But who sticks their finger in a cobra's, you know, like cobras are one of the most highly poisonous snakes. So then, you know, so many examples like this in Ramanuja Savis, nobody understands Govinda Das. He's a very exceptional devotee, but nobody can figure him out. They commit so many aparads because they speculate some external thing. Sai Radha Damodar ki, Lalita Bisakha ki, Jagannath Baladev Nitai Gaur ki. We have time for questions. Is that a good? So, I'm thinking some questions. In the meantime, let me just try to cap everything off. So, you take the moments of Vapu association when you can do some service for the Guru. They're valuable moments, they're precious moments. They're little jewels in our spiritual treasure box. But there's always some limit to the Vapu Sevas. We look back and we think, oh, I wasn't so surrendered at that time. Maybe I got chastised, maybe I got... I was spacing out, I wasn't doing the things in the right way. Prabhupada asked the devotees, I want hot milk, and then they brought him up cold milk. He said, the milk's not hot enough. I said, Prabhupada, how hot do you want the milk? He said, I want it as hot as possible. They came back, and the milk this time, Prabhupada touched the glass. Ah! It burned his hand. It's too hot. It was like boiling, you know, just like they heated up, put boiling milk in the glass, you know. So it was burning the hand, everything. They said, but Prabhupada, you said you wanted it as hot as possible. Then Prabhupada looked at them, you know, kind of disbelieving, yes, but not impossible. Hot as possible to drink, you know, not boiling oil, boiling milk. So many times we try to, we have an opportunity to serve, but maybe we don't really serve as best as we can. So it's also an opportunity to review what we're doing, try to improve it. As long as we have those opportunities, those moments. But then, you know, eventually there won't be Vapu Seva. Then we have to keep that connection alive always through the memories and through the Vani, through all the instructions and messages and messages, verbal messages, spoken, written, examples. How many ways you got messages, those are all in a greater sense Vani. So that's a very deep connection. So we have to learn to become deeper. We have to mature. We will get support from the spiritual master. He'll support us in so many ways. Just like when you read the Gopakumar and the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, as he's going on different levels, occasionally his guru appears and gives him some guidance, some help. So, guru helps us, even when we're he may not be visibly present to the mundane eyes, but he's spiritually there to help in so many ways. Even when we go to the spiritual world, the spiritual masters are an old friend who connects us with our eternal service to Krishna in the spiritual world. Depending on our rasa with Krishna, he'll introduce us to whoever our mentor will be there in the spiritual world. And at that point, his job is more or less completed. He did his task and he'll be an old friend. But now we have got our direct service to Krishna and that becomes a prominent thing. So until then, he's there. So we learn to connect, and it's also important that we are a spiritual family and we're all together in this family to help each other, to give support, to give succor in different ways so that people, they can be helped through their brothers, through their sisters, through their uncles, through different Vaishnavas, aunties. That's also a way that the spiritual master helps us. Just like Prabhupada used to say that in order to do my service, I should do it myself. My guru gave me the order to spread Krishna consciousness in the West, but how can I do it alone? I'm not able to do it alone. So because my spiritual master saw I wasn't able to do it alone, he sent all these disciples. So I see you all as the representative of my spiritual master. And this goes way over our head. How is a disciple representative of the spiritual master? But that's how Prabhupada saw it. That my guru sent you to help me. So even we can see that once someone becomes a guru, they can see their disciple as a representative of the guru. I heard an amazing pastime from one Damodar Maharaj. He was a Prabhupada godbrother that used to live next to us. So when we're living in the grass hut, it was okay to associate with him. He was supposed to be a friend. Sometimes he would tell us little tidbits. One time he told us that he was only 12 years old. He got initiated when he was just a teenager. So that's why he's one of the last Prabhupada godbrothers that was alive. He just recently, about a year or two ago, passed away in Jagannath Puri. So he told us one day that Bhaktisiddhanta Saritaka was walking along with some followers, and so he was also there in the group, kind of walking along. And suddenly he stopped and looked up, and it was somehow the moon was already visible in the sky. He was gazing at the moon and looking. Everybody's looking at him, looking at the moon, looking at him, looking at the moon. You're like, what's going on? What's in his mind? And then while he's looking, he just starts commenting to them, kind of shaking his head. They become very Krishna Bahirmukh, like materialistic, would be a good translation, on the moon planet. They urgently need us to go there and preach to them. And like the devotees are looking, this is, you know, 1936 or 30s, 20s or something. He said, we had to go there and preach because they're turning away from Krishna. So like that one day, that was like one, so he would tell us some of these little far little tidbits and kind of, that's an amazing. Another one, he said that one old man came to the ashram, and he was came in the door, and he'd sit in the class, real old man, kind of a sadhu type. And then the Bhakti Siddhanta Sathaka would give his lecture, and then at the end he would ask some question. But it'd be like, everybody was surprised, like this old man asked some poignant, simple, yet, you know, brain, you know, what do you call it, you know, like shocking kind of question, like, you have to think, well, what's the answer to that one? And then Bhakti Siddhanta had to think himself and he'd give the answer. And then this was going on for like 3 days. And then the elderly man, the old man, he passed away, he died. And the Gramadama said that Bhakti Siddhanta was crying. He said, actually, he was my guru. He came in disguise, in this form, to give me some instruction by these questions. And I didn't recognize him until after he left. So how a spiritual master can come and how he can... he's not going to be on the transcendental level. He doesn't have to follow the rules we follow. He can speak through other people, he can speak through other, on all different ways. Even assume, like we heard that Chintamani was actually the spiritual master from the previous life of Vilamangal Thakur. Prabhupada said, don't make me come back like that. to save you, come back as your girlfriend or something, and then at some crucial moment give you the sauce, you know, you should surrender. We're laughing, but that's what happened, isn't that what happened? So how many ways a guru can come and how many ways he can help? I'm sure there's new chapters written every day in that book. And a few of them are revealed in different pastimes from our previous acharyas, like Vilamangal Thakur, but others. So that took... All these things took more meaning because recently Bhakti Tirthamas wrote that, what were the exact words? I will connect with you in... Huh? Yeah, no, but I can paraphrase it, my own words, but I was trying to catch his words, which were so poetic. But the point was that after leaving the Vapu, visible Vapu level, that he will be connecting with us in different ways, in more ways than what we could even expect or imagine. But he said it in a very succinct, beautiful, poetic way. I just wanted to highlight that that has happened in the past, that gurus have connected with their disciples through dreams, through siksha gurus, through so many different ways. Since I gave a few examples, you know, unbelievable, unexpected ways also. So, from our side, we want to be very sincere. We had to... Krishna's our super, he's the super soul, he sees everything we're doing. If we are very straightforward with Krishna and honest about our weaknesses, pray to Him for the strength about our intentions. If we don't act according to our principles, we should pray for forgiveness. We should pray for strength that the next time we'll do better. And if we're successful, we take it as mercy of Guru and Krishna and Vaishnavas. If we don't do it, then it becomes offensive, could be offensive. Depends what it was. So there's just a few realizations I want to, whatever. Just pray to Krishna to try to speak something through me. But it's not a prepared speech or anything, it's just from the heart. But we have a little time for questions.
Thanks, Maharaj, for your association.
Thanks for having me here.
This will be my second question to you. I asked you a question in Mayapur, and you told the devotee to give this gentleman a sweet. I still can taste that sweet.
I don't know if I got a sweet today.
My question is, can you describe the difference in the nectar of serving your guru when he was on the planet, when he was young, and the difference in serving him now that you are one of his great servants?
Well, I say you definitely, when the spiritual master is present, you feel a sense of protection much more. That in case you make a mistake, in case you're doing something wrong, he's there to tell you about it. He's there to realign you on the path where. So it's a very direct kind of opportunity to get properly trained up and situated. Where, when there's, like, it's natural that somebody is going to feel very intense separation. There's definitely going to be a transitional period. I mean, what to speak of, like departure from the world. I was once with Srila Prabhupada, and he was watching a little, wasn't video in those days, it was what you call Super 8 or something. Little, one of those little home movies of him leaving a temple, leaving an airport. He was in the airport and devotees were chanting. And then he went out onto the tarmac and went to the plane. And as soon as Prabhupada was leaving, there were devotees and they were crying, feeling separation, the spiritual masters going, leaving on this journey. But then there was like one devotee and he's like stuck his face in front of the camera and he's like big smile, Hare Krishna, Krishna, you know, like it was almost like a clown face, you know. He's smiling and chanting. Then Prabhupada looked and said, these other devotees, they're like more deeper devotees. This devotee is not very deep. You know, I mean, it's not, the spiritual master's leaving, you should feel some separation. And he's just like, you know, Hari Bol. So Prabhupada, he made some comment, he didn't, the devotee wasn't very deep in his feelings for the guru. So naturally there's going to be a lot of deep separation, and that is something that we have to internalize, and we keep it. Helps us to have a deeper connection. But then we have to learn how to, but he's not, that's like a very natural reaction. But the important thing is that we don't feel hopeless, that we feel that connection through his instructions. So, of course, for me there was a lot of, there were ups and downs. Being a leader in ISKCON has its downsides. There's a lot of people that are not happy with what you do sometimes, and other, a lot of, somebody called it a swan-eat-swan world. And so then sometimes it felt that, well, the need for like Prabhupada's direct intervention or presence. But then, over a period of time, Jai Radha Damodar Ki. Could see that Prabhupada was there and he's working in different ways. Also, we had to learn lessons to be humble, to be tolerant, to be surrendered. No matter what the circumstances are. So Srila Prabhupada now, whenever I'm trying to do something, I was thinking, will this be pleasing to Prabhupada? What would he want me to do? Especially I find that the Samadhi temples, the deities there are very... all the Prabhupada deities are special for me, but especially the ones in the Samadhi. In Mayapur, I find the Mayapur Samadhi a little more accessible, but also Vrindavan, very much his presence. And although anywhere I'm in the world, I always pray to Prabhupada. Whenever I get to the Samadhis, I give my reports, like he's there and giving a report. So. What I'm doing and what's my intention, and praying for some guidance, what he wants. But then also taking guidance from my God brothers. Sometimes I would have talks with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and get his guidance, his different senior devotees. See how that matches up with what we feel in the heart that the Prabhupada wants us to do. Get a little internal and external confirmation on those things. We get the armor to protect us through these different tests and trials. We have to learn how to take that armor and put it on and become and take the protection that Prabhupada's giving us. So. It's much more of an internal relationship. Internal, eternal, but internal. So then you learn to be feeling the presence of the spiritual master all the time. When you do something, like somebody was giving a class, no, was giving a seminar, our PB, and he was presenting what he gives to some of his business presentations. He dovetails things. And he was saying how, what was it that And how would you act with if Krishna was watching, if he was in the room, or how you would act if someone who was very dear to you was in the room with you, or if your guru was in the room, would you speak the same thing? Would you use a swear word? Would you lose your temper? But in as you go deeper and deeper in the Vani Seva, the guru is with you. He is watching you, everything you're doing. Now, you know, Vapu might think, okay, he's not in the room, he can't see me, but of course Krishna sees, and but in the Vani situation, then he's there watching. That makes you become much more responsible. And actually, Krishna is always watching what we do. Guru is the external manifestation of Krishna's mercy. But somehow we may not act right, appropriately, because of immaturity in our spiritual life. So it means you have to become more mature. And that maturing process is not someone can, well, now I'm mature. It's something that keeps on growing. There's always going to be new tests and new levels. Even Radharani, in her prayers, she doesn't consider she's yet reached 100% devotion for Krishna. She's still trying to improve on her devotion. So that means that's just our eternal mood, is to always try to improve our devotion, always try to please Krishna more. How much can you please Krishna? You can always please Him more. You can always do something better. So how do we please Guru and Krishna? I used to get lots of dreams of Srila Prabhupada. One time I was struggling with defending the movement from different kinds of severe tests, sticking my neck out a lot. And I had this dream, and I was walking up a stairway, and then Prabhupada suddenly appeared on the stairway, and then he said, "Carry me." And then he had me carry him up the stairway. Different things, different than me. He gave me some instruction. Sometimes there are periods, not so many dreams. But other ways you feel connected. Since you asked a very personal question, and well, I don't think it's something you can explain completely, but I tried to share a little some things. Any other question? Yes.
Yes. Well,
one thing he commented today would be like, in a recent, I don't know exactly how many years, but 5 or 6 or, didn't keep track exactly how many years, but there's been a recent period where I told him about getting round the world tickets, and my secretary has helped buy us round the world tickets either in South Africa or in India. And then somehow we would really often meet at different keynote festivals in the world. And for both of us, it would always be a big highlight. We would embrace, we would talk a little bit. We were pretty busy because of the festival, but it was something that was very special, that we could meet each other, whether it was in Croatian festival or if it was in South Africa, or sometimes we would chant together in the Rath Yatra. Sometimes he'd be in one chariot and I'd be in another. But in between we would have some moments where we would talk and touch base and see how everything was going. And many of my disciples are getting inspiration and instructions from him. I try to help some of his disciples. But one time there was, it just so happened that we were on the same flight from Russia to either from Divnomors to Moscow, I can't remember exactly, or from Moscow back to Western Europe. But we were on it was a 2-hour flight. We were together. And we had a very heart-to-heart discussion about so many topics, which I'm not able to share. But he gave me some really nice advice and points and like that. That was a very special opportunity we had to have a little bit of it. Because usually we're so busy. So many disciples all around, so many things happening, so many, if he's not giving a class, it's my turn to give a class. So you don't really have these festivals and an opportunity to sit down and discuss just a few words in passing, a few. And in ISKCON we don't have, that's something maybe we should do, is like the corporate, some corporations they have where all the big executives go off and have retreats and do things together. And we don't have that kind of opportunity so much. Maybe there's opportunity, but we don't have that system. We used to play some sports one day during our GBC meetings. They dropped that. Like water sports. It's one day go out and swim together or something. Have a picnic. But sometimes... But so that was what was really nice, that we could, that time we had like 2 hours and we just talked the whole time. So many different issues. And some personal, some ISKCON leadership issues. Some disciples that we were both, devotees that we were both caring for. Sometimes, he told me today that he was, a year ago, that the things most important to him would be, one of the things would be chanting and dancing. And now, you know, he said, I dance from this bed to that bed, you know, this chair to that bed, and this, I went out there. He's saying that it's an eye-opener to many, the older generation in ISKCON, that he was so healthy, he was so active, and this can happen so quickly to him, then who's next? So that many... Still waiting. I'm just still hoping that for the miracle. You see, and it's kind of because what there, we both had this idea. I had 1997 after Prabhupada's centennial. I got this. I was feeling that there's something missing in ISKCON, that I was praying to Prabhupada, how can I be a better disciple? How can I serve you better? What can I do? At that time, I felt there was this mission given that the leaders in ISKCON should try to show greater care for the devotees. And he was the main person that was, he also felt the same way, and we were in our different ways trying to do. But in doing this, sometimes you get misunderstood, and it's not so clear exactly how to do that. And I would be talking in different forums about how we should step up the care for devotees and support spiritually in other ways. And he had his angles on it also. But then, as I say, that some people, there was a lot of kind of misunderstandings about implications of that, and I don't think it's relevant to go into all that. But anyway, just in these different, we would touch go and have discussions on. And what we could do, and it was, although we are different people with our different modus operandi and everything, but there was a kind of a convergence of intent that we both wanted to actively work for seeing an ISKCON with the people were better cared for. I put up the issue many times in the GBC body. And did that way, and he took some direct initiatives. I took some direct initiatives. Some were successful, maybe some misunderstood. So then he would give me some advice on how, because he had an access to different information about how people were perceiving that and how I could adjust. So it was like that kind of, for me, he would come to Mayapur and get Prabhupada's mercy and go out and preach, and we would have those times together with Prabhupada, but it was so many of us together. And then there was a period where like Harikesh and these type of devotees, I was very active with them. Then after 87 and 98, they were off the picture. So then after the problem with New Vrindavan, and then when he came back fully, everything was... from that point, my relationship with him was more, I would say, more developing in a very personal way. Before I was at like Godbrothers, but it was, you know. We didn't meet together so often, but after that, somehow Krishna would always arrange somewhere other in the world we would meet each other. And when I was doing the develop a congregational development, he was always one of the people that was very supportive. He could pick up on the vision that congregation was the future. Because 20 years ago, I mean, even 15 years ago, people, it's like if you weren't in a temple, you were, you know, in Maya. And now in ISKCON, you know, 99% of our devotees don't live in temples. And they're very active, Krishna conscious. So, in that struggle to try to establish congregational development, I got a lot of support from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Things like that. More than I don't have like a little pastime that will. Memories of he was leading a kirtan once in Atlanta. Went there for the Panihati festival, and I mean he was, you know, it was one of these kirtans where the whole temple, everybody was like, nobody was touching the ground, and everybody was flying, and his clothes were completely. He was soaked, you know. It's like everybody was soaked, but he was especially like. Soaked in from his from the kirtan, and I came out from the inside from the kitchen where I was cooking the chira and doi, mixing it up together for the offering, and then you know he grabbed me and he brought me into the kirtan for a little bit. I got so many memories like that, you know. In different parts of the world. And today he talked with me for an hour, and then hope I didn't wear him out. And then there's many things, but that was very confidential. Then I had this desire that I want to just read a scripture to him, so you got me, I could read. Chaitanya Charitamrita, even though it didn't have this Bengali, but wanted to do a little seva. Yes, Prabhu?
You raised a point earlier about the quality of the rounds or the consistency of chanting has been related to our relationship with the spiritual master. Could you explain that a little bit more, please?
Did I say that?
I think it was in regard to dealing with.
Disobeying instructions of the spiritual master is an offense to the holy name. That our relationship with Krishna, with the holy name, and with the guru are bonded, they're connected. So the spiritual master gave us some guidance on how we should serve Krishna, what service we should do, that we should, we've taken vows before him to avoid breaking principles and things like that. When we don't, and when we're negligent, that offense to the guru is also offense to the holy name. That's what I was saying, that's connected. I wasn't specifically, I don't think I said that, but you could, in reverse, I'm not saying it. It wouldn't, I don't think I said it, but it would go to speak that everything we do would have some kind of a connection. But whatever, I was speaking specifically about the instructions that the vows we took to the Guru and the direct instructions he gave us. we had to try to implement those, to carry those out. Prabhupada said the most important instructions are the vows you take at the time of initiation. Tomorrow there'll be initiation, some more final, maybe hopefully not final, but anyway, some initiation. So the devotees will have to keep those vows as their very cherished promise and order of the Guru. It's like the order that we get from the Guru that we should do these things, and we've accepted that, we've vowed to do that. But there may be other personal instructions that different devotees got. Since I'm interacting all the time with devotees, I try to make it, some things I'm just giving them an advice, some things are in order, you know, should, it's not always the same. Some things the management decisions, not order. That's a complication when the guru is also a part of the administration. It was interesting that Nimai Nitai Prabhu was telling me that in the Orthodox Church they also have gurus, and the gurus are monks, but the monks are not priests. They don't manage the temples, they're just monks. But the monks are the only one who can become a GBC or a bishop is a monk. Priests can't become bishops unless they become monks. Still trying to digest that. It's quite interesting. So anyway, their gurus don't have management roles unless they have really high up as a bishop. But they're direct, like they're not temple presidents or anything. Interesting. And we have to learn. So you have to see what was it that the now's the chance, if there's any doubts. I mean, if there's one thing that I look back, if there's one thing I could do over, like this whole Riktik issue and so many, if we could anticipate the way that people misinterpreted Prabhupada's teachings in different ways, and we could have clarified it. If there's anything in any instruction that Bhakti Tirthamara seems, it doesn't seem clear to you, or it's not, it's a little ambiguous, this is a time you definitely want to clear it out. The two camps are there that, well, he said we should do this, he said we should do that. I don't know if there's anything like that. He's been pretty clear all along, but in case there is, you definitely want to clear, don't, you know, leave it for the, be fought out in some breakaway group or something. And I think he's been pretty clear. I don't think there should be any doubt, but just in case there is in anybody's mind, that would be the one thing that, there are a lot of things we took for granted that Prabhupada told us, but later on people interpret it in different ways. We thought we had asked all the questions, got the answers, but the thing is that like when Prabhupada told us that I'm leaving, and he asked us, you please ask Krishna what you want to ask me. Then we all, the GBC got together, we discussed, we want to ask Prabhupada if he can please stay with us and not go. That was the first question. And then we went and asked that to Prabhupada, and he kind of closed his eyes and he prayed and meditated. And then he opened his eyes and said, Krishna says I can stay a little bit longer. When you ask me what for the future of the movement, what do you want? So we came back with 5 questions. How would initiations go on? How would the GBCs go on different? How would the books would be published? A few things like that. 5 questions were there. And at that moment it seemed pretty clear, but 10 years later, people had different ideas. So I don't know if anybody has that vision, or if there's anything that could be interpreted. You know, you want to clear it up now, because this is a great opportunity when the spiritual master feels that he's got a call and he doesn't have long to remain, then it's an opportunity. Gather the questions if it's not too late already. And that's what this kind of period, when there's an invalid period, and is an opportunity for people to prepare themselves and to ask the questions and to be clear. For personal issues, I think he's already said that it's not time anymore. Maybe there's a bigger issue for across the board for everyone. What time is Mangal Arati here? So they want to meet, there'll be an early class, slightly early, tomorrow? We should leave at 8:45. So when should class begin? What time is the... Advaita Prabhu? Advaita Prabhu? Yeah, I'm assuming that my secretaries will have the car here. I walk out and
Seven thirty is daily greeting.
And Prabhupada Puja?
7:15 to 7:30. Okay. And that's just my idea. If somebody else has better, we're open. Do you have a special verse you would like to speak? Tomorrow is a Mother's Day. Are you going to just take the verse that we are on? I think we're on a fourth canto. Prithu is talking to Kumaras.
Pick out an appropriate verse. Mother's verse.
You want me to pick the verse?
I don't have any scriptures. We had a trouble anyway today with the scriptures. We don't have scriptures over there, so.
Okay.
Who are some famous mothers? Devahuti, Kunti.
We'll find one for you. We'll let you know tonight.
I don't think so. Do you have my nursing oil? Should always have it in the cartel bag. would always have it in the cartel bag. Always birthday?
Yes.
Whose birthday?
Nityananda.
I should run and get oil. While they're giving out the cake, I get the nashing oil. So you already had a glorification of... I remember he used to play water. We have a special water sports he used to play with the Guru Coolies called Hari Ball, where we pass the ball in one name of Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya and to the Hare Krishna mantra. Whichever team can complete the two mantras wins the one game. Sometimes it takes 45 minutes because there's a lot of other team intercepts. And he was a very good player. But you were on the side. I never do. Oh, that's cheating. I would never cheat. I hold people, I don't dunk anybody.
You know, because he's really big, and that time I was small because I was, you know, like, I think 17, 16, and he just... Because he just puts me down, and I was like, you know, once I went, you know, and I was totally down, and I'm not a good swimmer. So I was like, oh, you know, I just lost totally. So I remember that very much.
If there was any apparat, please forgive me.
Oh.
In sports and...
And I remember we used to play cricket.
But I know, I never consciously dunk anybody. It's push him, man. It's part of the game.
And also, actually, previously, I used to be really scared of him, you know, because he's big, and I never spoke to him. So one day when I got graduated from Gurukul, and I was working with Mother Divyambara, helping the GBCs. So one day suddenly, I was standing, and I see him coming. I got scared. I'm like, okay, he's coming now. I was like, you know, fixing myself. Okay, you know, if he asks something. And he came, I thought maybe he's going to the bathroom or somewhere, you know. He came straight to me. I was like, okay, now. And he says, you know, what's your name? I was like, Nirmal. So you're initiated? I was like, no, I'm aspiring from Bhakti to Maharaj. And he says, okay, so you're graduated from Guru, right? I say, yeah. Okay, if you need any service, you can, you know, come to me or something like that. I was like, oh, that's good. And from that day on, you know, I mean... From until now, I'm not scared of him. And today is very, I'm very fortunate, you know. He gave me a hug. He gave me a hug right there. I think, you know, that was my birthday present. Birthday present.
I'll give you the garland, come on. Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.
For he is a jolly good Vaishnava, for he is a jolly good Vaishnava. But he is a jolly good Vaishnava. Ipasindu vyayeva cha. Namo nama. Someone should speak something about him. Some good qualities about him. Some of his friends maybe can speak.
I don't have any good qualities.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. A lot of good qualities that Nimo has acquired, he has with him. I've been with him for the last 10 years in the Gurukul, from 1996 all the way now. And I know he is a person. One good quality I like of him is very friendly. Once you're a friend of him, means you know for sure that he's there to back you up. He's always there to protect your back as a friend. One more quality that he has really, really astonished or really impresses his friends is good communication abilities. He can speak, he can negotiate, he can understand when you talk to him, he understands you the way you are or whatever you want to talk to him as, like that. And jolly too. He's really, really always jolly, always happy. He keeps his distress, he keeps his bad feelings in himself. He doesn't often share that with you unless you ask for it. I mean, he always wants to give his good sides that, you know, he is happy. You know, the bad things he keeps himself, doesn't want to really share and affect his friends, the friendship mode. That's the thing I see in him. Overall, he's a good friend.
How many devotees are here? There's more, okay. Nityananda Ram. Happy birthday. Who's next? Oh, give me without the frosting.
Okay.
I'm on a low-fat diet.
This one is the one.